We mentioned earlier that it was Rosh Hashanah, the new year for Israel. And I believe it's year 5783. And they celebrate for 2 days, called the Feast of Trumpets. And, you know, you have the shofar, the old ram horn that they will blow. And we talked about how they cast a stone into the water, and it represents that they're casting away their sin, a form of repentance. But it's emptiness, really. It's one thing to have regret, and it's good if we sin that we should regret it. But we need to repent of it, and we need to repent toward God, and we need to accept His Son, our Savior, as forgiveness of our sins. That's the work that He did. And we come to this group here that represents a group today. And Mark chapter 8, verse 9 says, they had eaten. They that had eaten were about 4,000, and He sent them away. Jesus met their needs. They were full. There was not only enough for everyone, but we know that they took up baskets full beyond what was needed. And that's always good to have more than you need. Verse 8 says they took up 7 baskets. So there was enough food. Everybody got all that they needed. And that's what Jesus does. He gives us what we need. We talked about that this morning, how good God is, and how that God through Nathan said to David, if that was too little, I would have given such and such things. You know, we can meet your need, God says. I got everything you need. But David, like we sometimes do, saw something he didn't need and decided he wanted it. And it about destroyed his life. It did destroy his family and destroyed at least one other family. But it says that he sent them away. He met their need and he sent them away. He prepared them and he let them go. In verse number 10, it says, straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples, and he came to parts of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven. He had just fed 4,000 plus and had food left over, by the way, with 7 loaves and a few fishes. He had given them more than they needed with less than his people would have needed. He was able to multiply that to more than anyone needed in the group. And he filled their need, and I'm sure that when they went away talking about the man from Galilee, how he fed us in the wilderness, let's say. It was a desert, not a desert like we think of, but a deserted area. There wasn't a McDonald's anywhere around. And so he gave them everything, or Captain D's, I guess it was fish. So he gave them everything they needed and sent them all away full, needing nothing. And I'm sure they went away telling people about this man from Galilee, how that he had blessed them, how that he cared about them, how that he loved them. By the way, why were they there? How that he preached the word of God. He preached the truth of the Father, and he gave them so much compassion and so much life. And he leaves that revival and he goes to another place, and all he gets is trouble. As soon as he's there, the Bible tells us that there were Pharisees that were seeking of him a sign of from heaven, but here's these last two words, tempting him. They wanted to catch him. They had doubt, and they wanted to spread their doubt. They had suspicion, and they wanted to spread their suspicion. They weren't happy that they had distrust. They wanted everybody to have distrust. When you find somebody like that, get away from them. Get away from them. A lot of people like that. Confronted with doubters. And they question Jesus' power. And the Bible says in verse number 12, he sighed deeply in his spirit. I noticed Wednesday night we came to church, and I guess Dalton had put up a new sign out there that said, we walk by faith, not by sigh. The T had fallen down. But you know, that says something about us, doesn't it? In fact, in the Old Testament, God talked about that through the prophet. He said that you sigh. Oh, what a weariness it is to serve God. Well, I sure hope that when we come to church, we don't walk by sigh. That we don't live by sigh, but we live by faith. That we walk in the faith of God, in the presence of God. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that good? He said, if I go, I will send another that he will be in you. We have the presence of God in us. We're never alone. We're never away from God. But he knows our thoughts. He knows our doings. He knows our goings. He our coming in and our going out. He knows all about us. He never leaves us. And Jesus sighed deeply in his spirit. Even Jesus got frustrated. And we know the power of God, don't we? I've seen God change lives. Now, there are people who get saved, even get baptized, maybe come to church for a short time. It reminds us of the parable Jesus told of the seeds, doesn't it? And the word of God was planted, and some of it fell among the thorns, and the cares of the world choked it out. And some of it fell in the stony places, and it sprung up. But then the heat got to it. And when the heat was applied, they bugged out. But then some of it fell into good soil, the prepared soil. And in that prepared soil, it got everything it needed, and it grew up to be strong and to nourish and provide shelter for the birds of the air. Right? And so some do get choked out by the cares of the world. Some can't take the heat, but others stay with God. I've seen what God can do in breaking addiction. I've seen what God can do in changing people's lives. I mean, you look at their story now compared to what it was, and it's two completely different people because God has changed their lives. And we could take testimonies in here, and I'll bet, and I know a lot of testimonies from this room, how God has changed your life. And you, the path that you were on would have led to destruction, but you got right with God, and it led to grace, and it led to life. He sighed deep in his spirit because he had what they needed. The Pharisees needed a Savior. The Pharisees needed salvation. The Pharisees needed hope. All they ever did was complain. All they ever did is try to catch somebody in a sin. In fact, Jesus gave him an opportunity one day in the temple courtyard, if you recall. He said, well, whichever one of you has no sin, pick up a stone and be the first one to throw it. And they all left. They all walked. You know why? Because they weren't sinless. Because as they begin to think about it, I don't know what would have happened if they'd have picked up a rock. Maybe Jesus was writing in that. We don't know what he was writing in the dirt that day, but maybe he was labeling sins of the one who was most likely to throw the stone. And he just put lies. And that guy thought, I better not pick up a stone he knows. And he put cheater. Oh, I better stay away from this. I think I'll walk away myself, right? And he just, I don't know what he wrote. We don't know. But no one threw a stone. He gave them a chance. They needed a Savior. That angst that was in them, that frustration that was in them because they couldn't find the peace of God, they didn't just turn it into repentance and salvation. They kept turning it on Jesus, trying to catch him in a quandary, trying to catch him in a trap. He sighed deeply. He had what they needed, and they wouldn't accept it. How many of us have been in that situation? Present the gospel to someone, give them the hope of Jesus, and they don't want it. Talk about God or the church or the Bible, and they're against it. Only criticizing. They don't want it. They can't believe it. And sometimes we get discouraged and frustrated by doubters. Well, understand when that happens, even Jesus got frustrated with them. He sighed deeply in his spirit. He goes on to say, why does this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say to you, there shall no sign be given to this generation. They wanted a sign from heaven. Like what? Like maybe a star? Where the people came and said, "We have seen his star," and traveled from the east? Maybe something like that? Maybe like when he got baptized, and when he came up out of the water, the voice of God thundered from the clouds and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and the appearance of the Spirit of God descending upon him. Maybe something like that. There were signs from heaven. Peter, James, and John were with him. Elijah and Moses showed up from heaven. God spoke to Peter when Peter decided we should build three temples, and God said, "Hush." Well, it's not exactly what he said. He said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." You see, there were signs from heaven. Jesus' birth was tracked by a star. There were signs from heaven. Remember, Jesus spoke on another occasion, and in his story about Abraham in the bosom, he said, the rich man cried out and said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my brothers, so they'll not come to this awful place of torment." And Abraham said, "They have the Old Testament. They have the law and the prophets. If they will not hear them, they will not believe, though one rose from the dead." Jesus proved that again, didn't he, when he rose from the grave? Oh, they said, "Give us a sign." A sign won't help. A sign won't help. Maybe like when the day went dark on the day of his crucifixion, did they all get saved then? No. When the earthquake struck and the temple veil was rent in two so that now we have universal access to God through Jesus Christ, did they repent then? No. The only one we have is one soldier who said, "Surely this man was a righteous man." Well, they had been given signs. Signs in heaven, signs in earth. They refused to believe. And I know we all have someone in our hearts, in our minds right now. We think about someone we've tried to reach. We want them to go to heaven. We want them to get saved. We want their sins to be washed away. We want them to have a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. We want them to know the presence of the power of God through the Holy Spirit living in them. But they refuse. So what do we do? What did Jesus do? Verse 13. He left them. You see, he didn't spend every waking hour trying to reach the Pharisees. There were other people who needed the Savior. He didn't spend all of his time trying to convince somebody who had pitted themselves against the cross, who had anchored themselves in their agony and decided, "We don't want to go to heaven. We don't want to deal with God. We believe that when you die, you just die." And I've had lots of people tell me that. I'm not going anywhere but 6 foot under. Well, let me assure you of something. That's where your body may go. But our souls are going to eternity. One place or the other. He left them. He didn't try to convince them. There was sufficient evidence for anyone who honestly considered it. And he wasn't going to spin his wheels on people who would just aggravate him and frustrate him. Guys, that'll free us. If we can learn to do that. Guys, I want everybody to go to heaven. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come repentance. That's His desire. But we need to offer it and move along. There are a lot of people, and I'm sure that many of you, like especially Brother Ronnie, we've come across people who at that point, on that day, they resisted it. And I've got one in mind right now. He never came to church. No time for church. Until the doctor said, "You're dying." And then he called the church. And you know what? I was glad he did when he did. And I was glad for the friendship, the bond that we formed in those final months and days. But I wish he would have enjoyed the church family and the Christian life before it was time for him to meet the Maker. We need to present the gospel, but there's enough evidence for anybody who will be honest. So let's not spend all of our waking hours trying to reach somebody who doesn't want to be reached. We've got to do what Jesus did. And Jesus left them in their wrongness to go find someone who wanted to get right. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for the privilege, the opportunity to be here tonight and to get in your word and to see the life of our Savior, to mold our ministries in his path, to follow the example, to love, to share, to bring hope, to provide as is good, but not to get bogged down with people who will just waste our time and frustrate our purpose. God, help us to never be those people, but to always know when it's time to move on. Live through us, love through us, make us useful to your purpose as we go our separate ways now, in Jesus' name. Amen.